Broadcasting from the Prime Meridian Bank Studios in the capital city of Tallahassee, this is Front Row Knowles with Tom Block and Keith Jones. Front Row Knowles is brought to you by Hobson Chevrolet of Cairo, Georgia. Get your best deal the Hobson way.
Good day, everybody. Tom and KJ back with you. Welcome to Front Row Knowles. Keith, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I've been telling everybody for the last 3 days, one word. Finally.
Well, you started that word on our late night edition of Front Row Knowles.
I'm not very creative, but I am consistent.
It occurs to me that when we record that and I'm driving home from the stadium, you just get stuck looking at a headshot. I should make that a more interesting photo for you. And it's better when I get to see your reactions. It's almost like we're in the studio again. Remember when we used to do that years ago?
Vaguely. I do remember.
We could be back in the studio at this point, but we're too lazy. It's just easier to do it this way. So here we are.
Well, fortunately, we got a radio station that is happy to cooperate with us, and we are thankful.
Exactly right. We are appreciative and glad that you guys are listening here on Real Talk Tallahassee 93.3. KJ, we're going to have Bob Ferrante join us later. We can talk a little bit more about what this means for Florida State, where they go from here kind of thing. But as I've reflected on it for the last couple of days, and I hear lots of folks saying this, maybe arduous is the word. It is painstaking to get Florida State to the finish line in some of these games. And I'm a supporter, as you know. I'm just trying to call it like I see it. There is nothing easy about anything that's transpiring on Saturday.
The analogy I use, my youngest grandchild, he's a grandson. His name is Grady, and he learned to walk about 2 months ago. And my daughter Taylor and her husband Andrew sent me some video. And what it reminded me of is how many times a youngster falls down while they're learning to walk. But the only way they can learn how to walk is to fall down and pick themselves back up. So right now, Florida State's been walking. They've fallen down. Now they got to pick themselves back up and get better at it.
Well, and they're up right now. We're hoping they don't fall back down, right?
Exactly.
One more week and then a bye week for Florida State as the Knowles sit 1-4. I want to start with this, Keith. And we'll also, by the way, folks, as we're just getting started, we'll talk Florida State football with our Osceola insider. I'm going to call him legendary soccer coach at this point. Mark Krikorian will join us. Soon to be the only Coach K in the ACC as soon as we get rid of that guy in Durham after one more year, by the way. So we will talk soccer, Florida State, number one in the country. That's coming up. I hear this on the street, so to speak, Keith. The offense, they've got no personnel, so they're just making the best of what they can do with it. It's obvious that they don't have talent in any position, so it's smoke and mirrors, and they're just putting it together, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But then I feel like the defense doesn't get that similar pass because apparently there's all this talent sitting on the defense that's not being utilized correctly. So my question to you, and I'll exempt the defensive line from this because we all know that number 11 is a pretty good defensive end and Keir Thomas isn't bad either. I mean, they got a couple of really good transfers there. But when we look at the back seven issues, do you look at it and go, well, that's an NFL guy, but they're misusing them or they're not, you know, they're just not doing a good job coaching them up. Do you see that kind of talent out there?
I do not. And I won't tell you that I'm the best judge of talent. I've been looking for a number of years. I've got some experience, but no, I don't. And that puzzles me and troubles me all at the same time. I don't know what to make of that. I don't know if I should be critical of the coaches because the players that they're playing are not the ones that are the best. And we've got better ones that are sitting on the bench. I don't know if there are no better ones. So they're playing what they've got. I would hope and think and believe that they are playing some of the youngsters more so than they want to, because they're building as opposed to playing older players to win. And I know you go into every game wanting to win, but you know, you're also trying to rebuild the program. So you're trying to get snaps for these younger guys that you think will be more productive next year, next year, next year. I think it's just a combination of things, Tommy. I don't really know what to make of it. So I'm probably not a very good person to answer that question.
Okay, folks, thanks for tuning in. I'll try to find somebody who could answer that question for next week's show.
Well played, sir.
I don't know. And I know we're on special teams right now. The special teams has not been good this year. I'm not overly concerned about it because the people involved have a proven track record of being successful at coaching special teams. And I'm talking about both Papuchis and Mike Norvell. Yep. So that will get straightened out. Doesn't mean that you have to accept what we're seeing. I do think, and we've talked about this, the kickoffs, it seems like that's a very easy thing to just take the fair catch. But I know it goes against the mindset of being aggressive, imposing your will, all these football type things, if you just kind of wave the white flag. So I don't know how you balance it, but it does feel, as we've talked about the last couple of weeks, like maybe it's time to try that.
You know, I don't consider it as a defeat or trying to balance. You don't have success. So continuing doing it the same way and expecting a different result means that you're insane, last time I checked. So let's do something different for a little while and see how that works out for us. If that doesn't work out, we can always go back to the other way.
Let me phrase it this way, Keith, and I agree with you. If the ref came to you for every first down and said, you can take a 2-yard gain or you can snap the football, what do you think Florida State should do? Maybe it's a 3-yard gain, to put it equivalent to what a 25 is on the fair catch for a kickoff.
I'm taking the 3 yards. I'll start 2nd and 7 versus what we've been doing.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And I think it's a similar argument. Like, okay, I'll even take 3rd and 4 and we'll go from there.
Just don't give me 3rd and 1.
Yeah. 3rd and 1, we need to bring some more mirrors and smoke in to figure out how we can do this.
Yep.
No, I'm with you. But it's back to the original point. It's been a grind. I'm glad they got a win. It was really cathartic for all of us, even if it's only for a week. And it got even better because Miami lost, Florida lost, Jimbo lost, Clemson almost lost. I mean, we could just freeze the week and we're good with the rest of the season, I think, KJ.
Well, that unfortunately is a sad commentary on where we are, but it's also an accurate commentary on where we are.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So we'll talk more with Bob Ferrante about North Carolina and that matchup and Sam Howell, see if Mac Brown can finally get a win against his alma mater, which he's 0-for over the years, including last year when Florida State surprised him. I would have to think they're big favorites. Keith, on the surface, do you see a way Florida State can win this game?
I certainly do. I mean, look at the way they played against Notre Dame. Look at the way they played against and defeated North Carolina last year. As we've talked about, Tommy, this is all above the shoulders. I mean, yes, there is not the same level of talent that was there 10 years and 12 years and 15 and 20 years ago. But the kids can play. These coaches have not forgotten how to coach. There's opportunities out there if they execute. It'll be a little different being in Keenan. That's different than being on your home field. But at the same time, we saw what can happen earlier this year. We've seen what can happen when you put it together last year and the win over, what were they ranked, number 4 at the time they came to Doak last year. So, it can happen. Am I optimistic that it will happen? Yeah, I'm not betting much on it. But it can happen, and I'm pulling for them, obviously.
More on that matchup is coming up. We will talk with Bob Ferrante in our next segment. Then Florida State soccer coach Mark Krikorian will join us. Stay with us. We're just getting warmed up here on Front Row Noles.
Some battles are worth fighting. They build character and teach important lessons. Other times, the more we resist, the longer we stay stuck. When a simple change would change everything. Is your bank holding you back? Try my bank, Prime Meridian Bank. Changing is easy. We'll show you how. Prime Meridian Bank. Tallahassee, Crawfordville, and on the web at trymybank.com. Member FDIC.
Fall into savings at Hobson Chevrolet Buick in Cairo, Georgia. Football season's finally here, the weather's great, and the deals are great. You gotta come check out our great selection of pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. Interest rates have never been lower, and you'll never get more for your trade than right now. So with the best financing available, you can't lose. And don't forget to come see us for all your service and parts needs. Come see us or check us out at HobsonChevrolet.com. Buy your Chevrolet the Hobson way.
C
Front Row Knowles is presented by Hobson Chevrolet of Cairo, Georgia. Get your best deal the Hobson way. Now back to Tom and Keith.
Welcome back to Front Row Knowles. Tom and Keith back with you. We open up that Earl Bacon Agency hotline, the Earl Bacon Agency, ensuring your future together. Say hello to Bob Ferrante from the Osceola. How are you, sir?
Doing well. How are you guys?
We're great. We're great. We're just going to bottle this week, Bob. We're talking about a win. We don't need to do any other shows. This is how we roll these days. Miami lost, Florida lost. It's all good.
How was it that Miami lost on a kick that hits an upright when it clearly it ain't right, and Florida State wins on a kick that goes through the uprights, and it just kind of was a weird week that way, and Florida State seeing all its rivals lose, you know, between Florida and even Jimbo took a loss too, so it was a loss to Mark Stoops, so it was kind of a weird, wild weekend.
Indeed. What's your takeaway from the game, Bob?
You know, I know this is really big picture, but I think Coach Norvell can say to the offense, defense, and special teams, you guys did a really good job. You all had a big hand in this win. But, guys, you can also see why this game was really close against Syracuse, a team that's good, but probably not near one of the best teams in the conference. And they can see where their mistakes are. But I think it's good to learn from mistakes after a win. And to show the guys, this is your hard work. That's what Norvell is all about, work. And they got it. They got the win by finishing, finally. And this is good for the team. And now, of course, gets a lot tougher with North Carolina and on down the road. But I think there are positives from the ultimate biggest win of actually winning a game.
It's always been said it's much easier to teach from the film of a victory than it is to teach from the film of a loss. Obviously, I need to quit using film because it's tape and digital media, but nevertheless, we've not updated the book. You know, I think the also in the big picture is just the ability for the coaches to say, see, we told you this would work, and there's evidence that it does work. I think that will go a long way too in the big picture.
And I think a lot of what works is guys just relax, don't force it, focus, trust your fundamentals, and the mistakes. When you reduce mistakes, you're in ball games. And it tells you a couple of things about Florida State. There is a margin for error that's really thin, but when the turnovers are minimal, when the penalties are minimal, when the mental mistakes are relatively minimal, I mean, there's going to be a lot of mistakes throughout the course of the game, of course, but I think this team is showing that it's capable of winning games, and would have liked to have seen them beat Louisville, you know, see some kind of growth coming out of those close losses, but it didn't happen. And they're 1-4. You know, I think they understand and they see the mistakes and they're learning from it. You know, Cam McDonald talked about it on Tuesday about, you know, his mistake as far as not making the block and that contributing to Jordan Travis's interception. But he said, I know what I did wrong. I know next time in that situation, I'll be prepared for it, better for it. And I think guys, it's a hard lesson for them to learn, whether they're a true freshman, redshirt freshman, or even a veteran, you know, guy, an older guy like a Cam McDonald. They're learning as the season's progressing.
Jordan Travis obviously played very well, and so we look forward to seeing him continue there. But at some point, and Bob, I feel like I don't want to say you're leading the charge, but you have an opinion on this anyway. And that is, you know, we're close to the halfway point in the season. You get to the bye week after this week. And while Jordan will still be around, Milton's not going to be here after this year. And Chuba Purdy, whether it's because Jordan's been dinged at practice or Milton's been out at practice, Purdy's gotten a lot of second team reps, which means he's gotten a lot more reps over the last month, certainly than he has gotten prior to that when he was the third or fourth team guy, I guess the third team guy. So how do you think Florida State gets him onto the field, or do they make an effort to do it? Do they just Jordan's your starter, and if we need somebody else, we go to Milton? How do you think they handle that?
You know, I think it's unfortunate because the ideal circumstances are you've got a number one quarterback and he's your guy week in, week out. And I think right now it's sort of the different story because it's who's available. And I think we're seeing at times it's going to be Jordan, and at times it's going to be McKenzie. And Shubba has to be ready, bottom line, because he might be that number two guy just about every week if there is an injury. We're seeing guys playing far less than 100%. I think, you know, we can say it now. Jordan Travis did not practice. I believe it was Tuesday of last week, and Wednesday he looked pretty limited on his wheels. But then on Saturday, those wheels were great, and he helped guide them to a win with those long runs and the big blocks that set up his runs for the field goal. This is just a situation where I think Florida State is living through two game plans each week, and it's time consuming within a 20-hour work week for coaches and players. It's really challenging. But yes, Chuba Purdy needs to be ready. I think there should be a package for Chuba Purdy to get some experience. If not this week, after the bye, get him ready for some playing time against UMass, because he's going to be needed down the stretch. I think we all feel that he's going to be needed, and he needs the experience for his future too as a quarterback.
Bob, is it a fair statement? Did you have any conversation with anybody after the game that it appeared offensively they really slimmed down the game plan? They weren't asking a lot of different things out of anybody on the offensive side. And maybe that's a recipe to start getting a little better and then build it back up.
It seemed like the game plan worked really well against the specific opponent of Syracuse, in that you're going to run and then you're going to have quick passes to the edge, to the perimeter. Those are basically runs. And that's just utilizing your runners and your fast receivers or your quick receivers who you hope can make a guy miss. And I think in part it was, let's not have Jordan Travis sitting back in the pocket, reading the full field, or potentially reading the full field and getting hit by a Syracuse defensive front that was number one, I believe, in sacks or tackles for loss or a couple of those stats. They have guys who could really bring it. So I do think it was very much designed to execute the best it could against Syracuse. Is this a formula moving forward every week? I really don't think so. I don't think it's going to work as a true formula. Florida State's put it out on film. I don't think we're going to see a ton of it against Carolina, but it felt like the right plan. I think we have to give the coaches praise for coming up with something very specific to the opponent. And for the most part, the players executing it pretty well to score 33 points and get a win.
It's ironic, as I'll ask you this question, Bob, but special teams was a big part of the win over North Carolina a year ago with a couple of blocked punts early in that game. FSU was actually pretty good on special teams last year. So that hasn't been the case thus far this year. I'm curious, because it's sort of short-term versus long-term trade-off on this. But are you in favor of keep doing it the way they're doing it, which is to say, don't fair catch the kick returns and don't bother kicking it into the end zone? Or might you say, well, maybe we should take a pass and we'll just take the ball at the 25 and put the opponent at the 25 and just live from there?
Yeah, I think some guys, I believe our publisher Jerry's in this category too, of you have a limited number of hours with guys each week, and with it being 20, how do you spend that time on special teams? Because it is important, and you do need to spend time on it. But in the manner of, say, kick coverage, kick it out of the end zone. In the manner of kick returns, fair catch it, and you're always going to start on the 25, even if the kickoff is to the 2. There are just things that you might want to say, hey, this is the best option for our time right now. Hey, the big two in my book, you cannot miss extra points. Number one, number two, punt returns. My goodness, we got to figure this out. I don't know who the right guy is, but he needs to be able to play center field really, really well and secure the ball. If his return yardage is zero, I'm happy with it, but please secure the ball, because we can't keep seeing this kind of thing happening week after week. Because again, it just goes back to the whole margin of error thing. There is none, and special teams cannot be a liability. It has to be either a plus or slightly above average to get you where you want to go.
All right, guys, I got to bring up the obvious. We're supposed to talk about what if Howell had come to Florida State and not to UNC. Go.
You know, it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks, because Florida State's going to see Sam Howell and then the bye, and then they're going to see Walt Bell. It's almost like the reunion tour that nobody – Nobody really wanted to schedule.
The answer to that question is Walt Bell would still be the offensive coordinator, I think.
And the scary thing is Walt Bell, I just looked it up today. He is 1-20 at UMass. He's taken one of the most difficult jobs in the group of five. It's really a miserable job to try and recruit and win there. And history would have been totally different if Walt Bell had stayed, Sam Howell had come here. It is what it is. It's been a long, strange trip since however many years that was ago, but it's just the reality of where we are. And I think Florida State guys are confident. They don't view themselves as 17-point underdogs, and they want to go out there and show that they can do this. But I think we all know at the same time, Sam Howell has had this date circled as part of his revenge for ever since the schedule came out. So it's a tough one. It's a really tough situation for Florida State.
He is Bob Frantair, Osceola Insider. By the way, it's only been like 3 years since Walt Bell, but it's like dog years. It feels like 21. All right, another segment straight ahead on Front Row Noles.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Your local independent Auto Owners agent is the Earl Bacon Agency. Call us at 878-2121 or visit us on the web at earlbacon.com.
Some battles are worth fighting. They build character and teach important lessons. Other times, the more we resist, the longer we stay stuck, when a simple change would change everything. Is your bank holding you back? Try my bank, Prime Meridian Bank. Changing is easy. We'll show you how. Prime Meridian Bank, Tallahassee, Crawfordville, and on the web at trymybank.com. Member FDIC.